The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? Have I not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day? But have I not been moving about in a tent for my dwelling? In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word to any of the judges of Israel, who I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over all my people. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares that the Lord will make you a house and your kingdom shall be sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 16. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. The angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary. He even repeats it. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So yes, Mary is the most highly favored lady, as we just said. She is favored. She's favored because the Lord has chosen her to bear the Son of God in the flesh in her womb. The Savior will be born unto her. Mary, who in the world's eyes was rather insignificant, she wasn't famous. She didn't possess a whole lot of earthly wealth and might and power. as Mary herself says in the Magnificat, which comes a little bit later in Luke chapter 1, she was of humble estate. She was of lowly estate, lowly class. But the Lord exalted her. The Lord lifted her up out of that lowly class. God chose her, out of all of the women in the world, he chose her to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. So while we obviously reject idolizing Mary, elevating her to a status that is so high that it takes away from Christ and the work that Christ has accomplished for us, or the work that only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are due, nonetheless, we really should hold Mary in high regard, as God's messenger Gabriel does in our text this morning, as Christ himself does, and as Scripture does. Because ultimately, what we confess about Mary, what we say about Mary, affects what we confess and what we say about her son, Jesus. What we confess about Jesus affects what we say and we confess about Mary. For example, our Lutheran confessions say this: we believe, teach, and confess that Mary conceived and bore not merely a man and no more, but God's son. Therefore, she also is rightly called the mother of God. Mary is the mother of God, the God-bearer. That's true. It's true because the baby boy that is born unto Mary is not just a man, he is a man, but he is God. God incarnate, God in the flesh, God who has come down to save. So you see, what we say about Mary affects what we say about Jesus, her son, and vice versa. So what shall we say about Mary? In our gospel reading, clearly Mary is a tremendous example of faith. Luther pointed to Mary, her life of submission and faithfulness to God, and he upheld her as the best example for women and virgins and mothers. She's humble. She's compassionate. She's a faithful servant of the Lord. And she is an example of chastity, which of course is sexual purity and undefiledness, I guess. And she is also a great example of obedience to God's will for her life. And God did many things for her. God chose her to bear the Son of God in the flesh. And she responds, of course, with that rather simple, you might say even childlike faith: behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. So while we're careful not to elevate Mary too high, we should still honor and revere her appropriately among us. And we do this in three ways, and this is the same way that we honor and we revere all saints, all those who have died in the faith and now rest from their labors in heaven. So this is true about all saints. One, we thank God. We thank God for Mary. Two, we look at what God did in her life, and we give thanks, and we can be strengthened. We can be strengthened by when we hear of all of that the Lord has done for and through and to Mary, elevating her, right? Exalting her out of her humble and lowly estate. And three, her faith and her trust in God and the word that he proclaims to her is an excellent example, and it provides us with an example for us to try to emulate. So yes, Mary's faith provides us with an example. But I don't know about you. When I hear Mary's excellent response to the angel Gabriel, I can't help but be convicted. I am convicted of my own lack of submission to God's will and to God's word. I'm convicted of my own pride and my own hubris rather than humility like Mary. I am convicted of my own disobedience rather than my obedience to God and his word. I mean, Can you imagine yourself in Mary's shoes? Gentlemen, this will be a little bit harder for us. I get that, right? But you get the point of what I'm trying to say. God comes to you. He announces to you. He comes into your life, and he disrupts everything that you've got going on, everything that you might have planned. He comes in, and he says he's going to use you as part of his overall plan, his overall salvation of the entire world. And through you and through the Son that is going to be born unto you, the world is going to be free of sin, death, and the devil. Not because you are so holy and righteous, but that's just how God is. That's what God does. Out of his divine grace and mercy, he chooses the weak to shame the strong. He exalts the lowly, and he saves the seemingly unsavable people. For nothing is impossible with God. But I can't help but wonder how we might respond to such an announcement from God. I suspect far too many of us would be a little bit miffed, bothered, maybe even a little bit angry with God. As if this greatest gift of all is some kind of a nuisance or a bother in our life. What do you mean you've chosen me? What if I don't want to do it? What if I want to just stick to my own plan that I've got going on? Come to think of it, I can't have a baby right now. They're far too expensive. They take up way too much time. And really, it would delay my career path if I were to have children right now. No, God, I'm sorry, but I think you need to find someone else. I'm going to continue doing what I think is going to make me happy and continue with my plan. I'm going to do what I want. You'll just have to find someone else. Lord, have mercy upon us. And that is why Mary provides us with such an example, such a wonderful example. Example, yes, but obviously it's not like Mary's without sin. We don't want to go too far, right? She's born with original sin, just like you. She's in desperate need of a Savior, just like you. However, she is chosen. And she's chosen for this very unique task. She is blessed. She is favored with God, simply by God's grace and love for her, and by God's grace and love for all people, including each and every one of you. For God is bringing about Mary's salvation through her own Son. The fruit of her womb will shed his blood on the cross to cover all of her sins, as well as your sins, indeed the whole world's sins. And God has come to her and blessed her with playing a huge, massive role in this plan to save his people from their sins. She will be the mother of God. The second person of the Holy Trinity will be in her womb, God in the flesh. And how does Mary respond? What is that example? Well, first, she says, well, how can this be since I am a virgin? Here she's not doubting, but she is curious. Obviously, she knows that she and Joseph have not yet come together as husband and wife. Remember, she is a great example of chastity as well. So it's a valid question then. How is this possible? How can this be? The angel Gabriel comes and answers her with the word of God. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will do this. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And as a sign that God can do this, behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And she's in the sixth month, and she was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary's humble faith then responds, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be unto me according to your word. And that is the great example of faith. Mary's response to the God's word that has been spoken to her. Behold, I am your servant. Let it be according to your word. Instead of being miffed and bothered and maybe even angry by God's plan, what God has in store for us, Mary's response to God's word should be, our response. Lord, forgive us of our pride and our arrogance and all of those times that we haven't responded with such faith and with such humility. But thanks be to God that even if our faith is weak and Mary's response puts ours to shame, we have Jesus. We have the fruit of Mary's womb. The Lord has come to save us. The Son of God came down from his heavenly throne, entered into our flesh in order to earn our salvation by his perfect life, death, and resurrection for us, to earn our salvation. He alone, not Mary, he alone is the sole mediator between God and man. He alone is our Savior, full of grace and truth, Jesus. In Mary's Son, the very Son of God in the flesh, we have all. We have it all. We don't need to elevate or idolize Mary because in the face of her child, the child born unto Mary, we see all of God's love. We see all of his mercy, all of his forgiveness and grace, all of his strength, and all of his righteousness. And it's simply given to us by God's grace through faith in the Son of God. So yes, let's honor Mary with the same love and honor that Christ himself gives her, that Scripture gives her, that the angel Gabriel gives her. Let's rejoice, especially when we hear of what God has done in and through Mary, exalting her, the humble and the lowly. And let's remember that what we confess about Mary affects what we say about and confess about Jesus, and vice versa. What we say about Jesus is what we have to say about Mary. For whenever we talk about Mary, whenever we focus, whenever our gospel is on Mary, the mother of our Lord, the mother of God, true, but the conversation always, inevitably, must be pointed and directed to her Son, the promised Messiah. Mary inevitably leads us to God and what God has done through her. The Son of God in the flesh, our Savior, making his way to the cross to save her, his mother, and each and every one of you, indeed, the whole world. So now, because Christ has come, and because he has saved his people from their sins, by God's grace and favor through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what sins you have committed, no matter what faithless response you may have uttered back to God and God's word, no matter what status you have according to the world or you don't have in the world's eyes, none of that matters because you have Christ. You are forgiven. The Lord Jesus comes to you. And he says to you, greetings, O favored one. You have found favor with the Lord. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Thankfully, nothing is impossible with God. That's good news. So while technically it's still Advent 4, I get it, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. In Christ, the baby born to Mary, you are chosen. The Lord is with you. You are blessed. Do not fear, for you are favored with God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.